Hi, girl.
Girl, let me tell you, I miss you, man. I really miss you, girl.
This is how much I missed you. I'm in Oxford, UK, and I knew that you were swimming in my pool in Los Angeles when it was 115 degrees. Yeah. And I went on the app on my phone with the security cameras and watched you swim.
Oh my God. That's a little scary. That's a little non-trustworthy. That's a little like, it sounded cute at first, but then it turned into, in my mind, I wonder if this motherfucker's taking my shit while I'm out of town.
No, I didn't think you were robbing me. I was watching you play with your kids and it was so adorable. And I was just like, and Florence comes in, she's like, please tell me you're not watching your friends play in your pool on your phone. And I'm like, I am. I might be.
Adorable.
That's how much I missed
you. I missed you. Well, I missed you so much that I went to your house and pretended I was hanging out with you in your pool.
No, you went to my house because it was fucking hot as balls and LA County broke the record for heat wave, huh?
Dude, okay, listen, you can say what you want to say, but it is orange here. It is literally orange outside. When you look out of your window, because of the fires. In San Francisco, it's worse. In the Oakland, Golden State area, that shit looks like freaking Blade Runner 2.
Literally.
With Ryan Gosling when they go to freaking Vegas, dude. Yep. It is freaking nuts, yo.
I know, I've been seeing pictures.
And then here, it's got like an orange tint. Everything is orange. And you can feel it in your fucking throat. You feel the smoke in the air and in your throat, dude. And for people that are scared of coronavirus, that was the first thing. Like, everybody in the house all of a sudden got a tickle in their throat at the same time. And we're all like, holy shit, do we have corona?
Right. Yeah.
What up, Flo? What up, Flo?
You know what she brought me? A Moscow mule.
Nice. She bought you an Adeo Shun.
I'm not positive our Moscow Mule is going to be called Adeo Shun. So don't get
excited. I think we need to change that name to Adeo Shun, dude. I'm telling you right now. The universal language of Moscow Mule needs to be the Adeo Shun now.
I'm just worried that let's say you're not an avid listener of the podcast, but you've heard that Zach and Donald put out a Moscow Mule canned beverage. You'd be like, oh, what's that one that those guys made? You're not going to have fucking know what an Adeo Shun is.
I bet you they do. I bet you.
Anyway, I love me a Moscow Mule, I got to say.
You love you some Adeo Shun.
Hey, everybody, I'm sorry. This is Zach Braff, and I fucked up my recorder. So that's why my sound sounded shitty for the beginning of this podcast. But can you notice the change now? Because I'm wise enough to know that I fucked up my recorder. But now my sound is perfect.
Okay, but not only did I miss you, I miss Daniel and I miss Joelle. Daniel, you look like your hair is growing out faster.
It is growing out a lot.
Possibly grow. And Joelle, you look as magnificent as ever right
now.
Thank
you. Hi, as Donald. Always. How are you?
Hi.
Don't we have a reporter joining us today? We should tell the audience what's happening.
Sure.
Donald,
we're being interviewed by E! Entertainment. They're this big news channel in
the podcast has become so huge that reporters are clamoring to get into the room with us and say, hey guys, what is the key to why this thing is so popular? And so we have a nice reporter from E! Who's going to sit in on the show. Should we let her in, Dan?
Let's do it.
Let her
in. Is she here? What's her name?
It says Lauren Peister.
Lauren.
Ladies and gentlemen, little did she know, but welcome to the show, Lauren Peister from E!
Hi, Lauren.
How are you guys doing?
Welcome to the show. Welcome. You know, my producer, Joelle, had told me that you were just going to hang out and listen. And I said, no, Joelle, that's not how Donald and I roll. She's coming in the room. We're going to talk to her. She's going to you're going to be a part of the conversation, Lauren.
Amazing.
Yeah. We were talking about California. Are you in California right now?
I am in California. Smells like smoke.
It looks like freaking straight up. It looks like Blade Runner outside, right?
Yeah. It looks weird. Orange. Not as bad as San Francisco pictures, but
the San Francisco looks scary, man.
Looks terrifying.
Yeah. Lauren, this is what we do. Donald sits in his closet drinking something.
This is apple juice.
Yeah, sure. Donald justifies to his wife day drinking when he does the podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm in Oxford, which makes me sound smart, and I'm allowed to drink because it's 7:10 here.
No, but
Daniel's
Daniel is in New York.
Daniel's in New York. Joelle's in LA. And we do this all over the world, this podcast. We bring it to the people.
And isn't it fine for everyone to drink if one person can drink?
Yeah, that's what that was the energy I was going on.
Yeah.
Joelle, do you disagree? Joelle, do you disagree?
No, I like these rules. These are very helpful rules.
Very, very helpful rules, right? If one person's drinking, everybody's allowed to drink. That's absolutely just how it works.
I'll be back in the United States of America when we do our next show. Isn't that right, Joelle?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so this is our last... This is our last...
intercontinental show, dude.
Yes, bro. Yes, we're going to all be back on the same time slot. What's that, Lauren?
Are you sure you want to come back to the United States?
Well, Lauren, yes. I don't know if you're supposed to be commenting this early. Have you heard some things?
Have you heard some things? Are we missing out on some things, Lauren, from E! News?
No. Just seeing the news. Being
the general
on
state of chaos.
Yeah, the general state of chaos.
It's not
great.
State.
Listen.
Are you talking about the fact that the president hid knowing that the coronavirus was a dangerous...
That's
virus
still
floating around.
He ran down the ramp.
He ran. That is the equivalent of that shit, right? Isn't that the equivalent of it when in the movies, when the guy gets caught out there, like in one of my favorite movies, which we'll talk about on the podcast today, Can't Buy Me Love, with Ronald Miller, where he pays Cindy Mancini to make him popular and everything. And then when he gets found out, he kind of just runs away from everyone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like that's what this dude did when he found out that that this virus was, he just made it so that everybody wasn't scared of it and kind of just ran away from the problem instead of dealing with it straight on. That's just me personally.
Didn't even work. Everybody was scared of it anyway. Mm-hmm.
Not everybody. Yeah. A lot of people caught that shit because they were believing what he was saying.
And I guess.
You know, all these motherfuckers that were like, hydroxychloroquine and fucking all of this stuff, it's going to save my life because the president doesn't think this is that serious. All of you now know that he knew and was lying.
Yeah,
but as Lauren knows from following the podcast, Donald, we tend to stay away from politics on this
show. That's not politics. This is fucking real life, dude. This is my life. Fuck this. This virus isn't political. Let's not make this virus political by saying because the president hid that shit that it's a political issue now. Fuck that shit. That's fucked up. He's wrong for that. He was wrong for that. I didn't want to cause panic. Fuck you, dude. If that's the case, denounce freaking white supremacy. And let's talk about George Floyd. And let's talk about systemic racism. If you don't want to cause panic, talk about that shit instead of stoking those fires and causing fights across America, man. Don't come at me with this bullshit about we're not supposed to be political, because this isn't a political statement. This is real talk right now, dude. We got somebody in office who's fucking up, and it's fucking up majorly. Sorry, Lauren, I don't mean to curse in front of E. I don't think Lauren wants
us to change the show, Donald. So you should like just as much as you normally do.
I feel like the viewers of E might be a little upset that I'm using such colorful words. But fuck that shit, dude. This dude's an asshole for this, man. Officially.
The real talk is partly why you guys have kind of like been like a defining feature of my quarantine, because I've listened to every episode. I listen to every episode twice a week. So, and I love when you guys just like come out with it, and you're like, you know, it's not a political thing. It's like people are dying, but we still have to like have a good time somehow, I guess.
I think what we strive to do here is, for the most part, obviously, since you listen to the show, you know that we don't always succeed, but we strive to have this be 60 to 90 minutes of taking people's minds off the horror show, because that's what a lot of people have responded that they really like about what we're doing is, obviously, we're talking about the show we were on and we're telling funny anecdotes, but we're really just trying to just say, hey, we're four friends that are hanging out and shooting the shit and hopefully not talking about so many topics that are so upsetting and maybe just take your mind off it for a second. But of course it overflows and it's upsetting and we can't help but be ourselves and real at times.
Do you remember when all we had to worry about was the coronavirus? Do you remember when that was just the problem? Do you remember when that was it? And it seemed like the world was fucking coming to an end? Look at where we are now, man. Come on, y'all. Make America great again, my ass, man. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now.
Let's get that Green New Deal popping.
Yeah, let's segue a bit, and and why don't we we haven't seen each other. We've been off for a week, and I thought it was very funny when Donald and I announced it on Twitter and Instagram that we're going to take the week off just because we needed it, and people most people wrote you guys are deserving.
Yeah, well, which, I feel like Lauren, deserving's you know, a real is, word though. I feel like now it's become a real word.
I really
feel like I might
hard.
Be blessed with when the Urban Dictionary is like, yo, deserving's now a word, dude.
I just love that people were like, you guys are so deserving. It made me laugh and smile. And we were deserving because we've been doing this without a break since the whatever the date was that LA was shut down, because Donald and I were about to start and go into a studio.
No, we did take a break. We took a break when the whole George Floyd thing went down.
Oh, of course. I'm saying, but we took a break at the height of at the beginning of the George Floyd mayhem, but we haven't taken a break just for our own, just kind of exhale. And I got to say, I like it because it makes me miss you all, miss you guys. And it makes me, I don't know, it feels refreshing to be like, I feel like we have so much to talk about and catch up on. And I don't know, it's a nice feeling. It's nice to have absence make my heart grow fonder.
That is exactly what has happened. I thought about you, each and every one of you, not you, Lauren, sorry, we just met, but I thought about the rest of you guys, like, a lot, actually. I thought.
Amen.
I want to know, how did it go with your girlfriend's parents? Did they like you?
Dan,
yeah. Good.
They're great. They're wonderful.
But did they
really
like you?
I think they liked me, yeah. I think
what's
so.
Not to like? He's so charming.
Oh, gee, you're very sweet.
Joelle, how was your break? What did you do?
Oh man, I slept and it was amazing. Yeah, I've had to let everyone know that I needed some time to myself, trying to do the self-care game. So I slept and I cooked with my brother and it was amazing. I highly recommend it.
What did you cook?
What did we cook? Bulgogi beef bowls.
Ooh, oh shit, you went fun. Fucking Korean barbecue, dude.
Yeah. Justin's like an amazing cook, so he goes all out, and I'm just kind of sitting in the kitchen, like, stirring things.
Important part of the process.
That is delicious. That sounds delicious. Oh my gosh. Really, wow.
You know, Donald, you never counted us in. Now, you know, we usually count in, but we got distracted by the excitement of Lauren being here and just catching up. Do you want to welcome all of the listeners from all over the world back with a beautiful number count into our magnificent theme song?
Five, six, seven.
Here's some stories about a show we made, about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know.
Hey, what an episode. A lot of good things in this episode, I gotta say.
A lot of great things in this episode.
Yeah. Holy there's cow. Some, you know, every once in a while we stumble across one that has, like, you know, four or five different moments that we really remembered. Like, the pimp walk is in this. Mm-hmm. The pimp strut. The original one of two pimp struts is in this episode. The late, great Sam Lloyd has a lot of funny stuff in this episode.
She has some amazing things in this episode.
But we're going to get to America and the rest of the world's favorite part.
Wait, hold up. Let me get my notes.
Okay. Got to go run and get his notes.
I'm going to keep it 100 with you guys. So the air conditioning went out in my house.
No.
So it's been out for the past 2 weeks now.
So no.
During the heat wave. We went.
How did you live with the heat wave?
We went and bought a bunch of fans and stuff like that and have been fanning the shit out of each other in this house. These are the reasons you have friends with pools, y'all.
Yeah.
The one mistake that we
I
as
took
a
screenshot.
Made,
do you want to see you? Do you want to see you playing?
Yeah, we'd love to.
Yes.
Yes.
Lauren, you weren't on the phone yet. Donald went swimming at my house and I missed him so much that I went on the security camera thing on my phone. And I took a screenshot of him and his family playing, and my girlfriend walked in while I was doing it, and she's like, please tell me you're not watching your friends on the security camera play. And I was like, no, I'm not, but I was.
It's going to be hard to see, but that's
Oh my God, that is us swimming. Enjoying ourselves.
That's adorable.
She's like, tell me you're not zooming in on Donald right now. I am. Look how much fun he's having.
That's so cute.
It was a blast. It was a great Labor Day weekend that we just went through? Yeah. Labor Day weekend. I literally
watched you like throwing your kids and having fun, and then I felt really like creepy, and then my girlfriend made fun of me, and so I got off and stopped watching.
Did you celebrate Labor Day in London? Did you guys celebrate Labor Day in quarantine?
They don't have that here. They don't have that particular holiday.
Did you, as an American in London, celebrate Labor Day, bro?
Well, I did. I chose not to work, and I thought. I thought, I'm celebrating Labor Day here by not working. I don't work. I'm what are we doing? We make this podcast. I'm writing this screenplay that I'm hoping to make.
And you have a really dope movie coming out. That movie looks amazing.
We should talk about that. Let's
get into it. You, Robert De Niro, and Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones, Emile Hirsch. Eddie Griffin. How did I forget the brother's name? Eddie Griffin, this is a dynamite cast, brother.
It's a really big movie for me, you guys. And you know, the trailer is really funny. If you didn't see it, please go. You can see it on YouTube. It's called The Comeback Trail. It's coming out November 13th. It's, you know, as if you're a fan of mine, you know that a lot of the stuff I've done, I've at least been some part of writing, directing, or producing. And then, of course, the TV show that we're all talking about. But for me, I never really had a ton of opportunities to do a film like this where... It's literally me and De Niro, our partners, and it takes place in the 70s, and the premise is really funny. It's about this producer. De Niro plays this like really sketchy movie producer who's never had a hit. The mob is after him because he owes them money, and he figures out that if he kills his star while doing stunts and making the movie, that the insurance check he could get would be way more than any money he could ever make off of the movie. So he comes up with this scheme that he's going to hire some old, washed-up actor and make sure he dies doing his own stunts. And that's Tommy Lee Jones. So he finds Tommy Lee Jones, who's literally playing Russian roulette in an old age home, and he's like, you're perfect for the part. And he sets about, I'm clueless. I'm like the innocent partner who doesn't know he's doing this. De Niro sets about trying to make sure that while we're making this movie, Tommy Lee Jones dies. Of course.
Let's not give it all away now.
I'm not going to give it all away. I didn't give away anything more than it's in the trailer.
Okay.
But it was just a huge opportunity for me. And I'm watching the trailer and I just can't believe it. I'm like, I'm just smiling ear to ear because I made the movie a year ago. But watching myself like go toe to toe with De Niro is surreal and really cool.
Well, that's the one thing the trailer doesn't show. The trailer doesn't show how much of it is just you and De Niro this whole movie.
Yeah.
I was privy to all of this because being your best friend, I get to know certain things. But as much as this is a movie with Robert De Niro, it is a movie with Zach Braff. So Zach Braff fans out there will lose their mind at genius that is he next to Bobby D. And I made it rhyme on purpose. You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. As Daniel says, you honor me. Thank you. Dang. No, it is a really big deal for me. And so if you're listening to this and you didn't see me post about it, please go check out the trailer. It's called The Comeback Trail, and it's coming out, they say November 13th. Of course, anyone with a movie coming out is going, I think it's coming out. I mean, I don't know. Who knows what the hell's going to happen by November 13th.
Well, a lot of movies came out recently.
Yeah. I guess there's places of the country, and certainly here in London, I know Tenet came out, and people are going to the theater.
Did Mulan come out in theaters over there?
I don't know. I mean, the theaters are open here, so they have very limited seating and they have all sorts of rules, understandably, but there are movie theaters open here.
Okay, well, let's get into the show.
Let's get into the show. Great episode, directed by Michael Spiller, and I don't remember a lot of this one. I remember the highlights, of course. I remember the pimp walk, because I think it's one of the funniest shots in Scrubs history. I mean, first of all, you had been talking that you thought you were overweight in this era of the show, but you look fit as hell.
Dude, this is the this
you got
is
how some
Hollywood
nice gets, titties. You got yeah, some perky titties.
This is how Hollywood gets you, dude. This is how Hollywood gets you. Fucking listen, before quarantine, I felt like, oh man, I'm so out of shape. I'm a heavy dude right now. I look back before quarantine, I wish I looked like that right now.
Right.
Because of quarantine, I'd gained 20 pounds. And so to add that on to where I was before, I wish I still looked like I did before freaking COVID. I was svelte. I was fit. As they say in London, I was fit Donald. I was doing my thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now, you know.
Are you uncomfortable with how your body is right now?
Absolutely. I'm so happy that I don't have to go anywhere to show anyone. But that's right.
But if a paparazzo took a picture of you at the beach, would you feel like a beached whale?
Wow. First of all.
No, I'm asking you if you feel self-conscious about your body image.
Let's keep it 100. If paparazzi is taking pictures of me again, I don't give a fuck what I look like, dude. Congratulations, Faison. You're back on the motherfucking map. Paparazzi, take pictures of my Hershey's Kisses and my big ass belly. It doesn't matter to me. I just know I'm doing something right, especially during COVID. If you feel like I'm the celebrity that you need to chase down during COVID times, when you could be getting Ariana Grande or one of the Kardashians in a mask, if you feel like chasing me down is worth it, I'm yours.
Okay, well, I think they're going to be outside your house. No. I think you and I once went to Hawaii and we got followed and all these pictures were taken of us. And I felt two things. I felt annoyed because it just makes you self-conscious and in your head that you're being photographed without knowing. And then I really didn't like how I looked. I thought I looked doughy and fat. And I just wondered if that was on your mind because you've been sharing with our audience that you're not happy with how you're looking. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not happy with how I'm treating myself in these times. They say you go two different ways. Some people get really healthy during this time, and then some people, are like, well, you know, since I'm in, let's be comfortable. And I chose the comfortable path, and, you know, I just had my checkup, and by the way, it went great. I am healthy. I am, you know, I got good cholesterol.
Did you get the prostate check?
Dude, I've already gotten a colonoscopy.
No, but did you get the finger in deep in your poop hole?
Not this time. No, I didn't.
You're missing out. You can request it even if you've had it. You can say like, hey, man, I'm here. Like, give it to me.
I know. I know. I'm aware of this. This time I went. I opted.
No, but why
to.
Did you skip? At our age, you're supposed to once a year get your prostate checked. Right,
I don't
Daniel?
Know. I don't because they took a blood sample of all of that stuff too.
No, he got to go in there with his finger and he touches the whole.
That's not necessarily so anymore, from what I understand. But you could be right, and I might have missed out on getting my prostate check.
We'll double check. Listen. We just lost Chadwick Boseman. Oh my goodness! Like,
no, well, I've already had a colonoscopy in the last couple of years, and they say I don't need to get another one for 5 years.
That's your colon. I'm talking about your prostate. They need to put the fingers deep and touch it. Why are you so shocked?
I don't
by this?
Say,
just because Lauren's here, Lauren's
I know,
not listening.
I know why my prostate needs to be checked. I'm sitting here wondering why didn't I get my prostate checked this year?
Well, you got to have everything checked above a certain age. I don't know when men are technically supposed to have.
I say if you're an African American male, once you turn 40, you should go and start getting checked out often and as much as you possibly can, especially if you have insurance, because a lot of this stuff is covered by insurance. I think. You should get it done as soon as possible.
I don't know what age, Daniel, do you know what age you're technically supposed to start getting the prostate check? Because I think we're joking about it because he does go inside your butthole. But it is something that people shy away from but need to make sure they have done because
pretty sure it's the earliest age for prostate.
Cancer.org says age 50 for men who are at average risk of prostate cancer expected. Nope, sorry, that's the wrong fact. Hold on.
That's bullshit. Yeah. I'm telling you as your fake
well
doctor,
that.
Man.
It's well before that.
I would start at 40 if you're a man. Yeah. That's your fake doctor. That's two fake doctors giving you a recommendation. We're going to protect your prostate. Let them go in. Let them touch it. Donald likes it. My guy, I happen to have a guy who makes jokes. He'll say things like, was that as good for you as it was for me? Your doctor won't do that. What?
Who's your guy?
I'm not going to say his name on
we'll bleep
on the
it
air,
out. We'll bleep it out.
His name is... And he's sort of a doctor that kind of makes jokes and lightens the mood a bit, which I kind of like. He sometimes it's too much, but for the most part, I like that he has little witty quips. Anyway, should we talk about the episode, Donald? For the love of God.
Yeah, get your timer out. Here we go.
All right, ready? Now, Lauren, as you know from being our number one appreciator of this podcast, that Donald, we had a little detour when Donald said that he had been trolled successfully and he was going to not do his sort of interpretation and what he got out of the episode. He was going to do a straight summary. Bill Lawrence was here, thankfully helped me shut it down. Everyone, lots of people on my social media, Donald said, go back to the old way. So here we go. Are you ready, Donald?
I hope so.
Here we go. And go.
JD gets to be a surgeon for a week, making him one of the cool kids. Turk gets to mentor his best friend and what it means to be cool. Elliot accidentally tells Nurse Flowers she loves him. She thinks it's no big deal until he starts abusing their new relationship status. And Dr. Cox plays a prank on Kelso that goes so well, it opens the chief of medicine's eyes to how everyone in the hospital feels about him. How he's affected surprises not only Cox, but Kelso too. Sometimes we take on challenges for pleasure, whether it be for ourselves or others. But when you get down to it, it's what it is, a challenge. And if not handled properly, it could turn into real problems. Good intentions still have consequences, for no good deed goes unpunished.
Okay, now, very well said, and you're a good writer. The game is that you do it in 30 seconds.
Impossible this time. Listen, impossible. This time, impossible.
That was a
high 48. I had to make up for last week, and, well, 2 weeks ago, I should say, I had to make up for, and I felt like I owed it to all of y'all out there to do that, and so I did.
Well, I think it was well said. You know, for me, this episode was a lot. I kept coming back to something every human being deals with, I imagine, and that is being obsessed with what other people think about you, and that's sort of the main theme of this episode. It's funny. I was watching it, going, sometimes I think about, oh, what's Donald going to say in his summary? What is the grand motif of this episode? And for me, it really was everyone is concerned about what everyone else thinks about them.
That's a theme with Scrubs, though. Like, pretty much every episode we deal with the insecurities of how we're perceived on this show. Mm-hmm. JD deals with it all the time.
Yeah.
Elliot, that's like the focus of her character. Same thing with Judy. Judy deals with wanting to be liked by everyone. Carla's character. Same thing with Cox. We know now that Cox is this broken man. It really does. This is the theme, at least so far, of this season, that, you know, nobody's put together, but we're in charge of saving so many people's lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's real talk. You know, that's something that we as a nation deal with, you know.
Well, is it a nation or is it a human condition thing? Because I think that we all have these busy brains. And even if you're a super confident person, even if you're fucking, you know, the most successful, confident person in the world, I'm sure you battle the self-doubt and worrying about how you're perceived. I mean, I, you know, and there's so many times where a friend of yours or someone will say, like, how they were perceiving it in a moment, and it's completely different than when you thought. And I think that plants doubt in our minds. We go, wait, am I, you know, because the way what we're thinking in our brains can't always be perfectly accurate as to how everyone else is perceiving us. And that sort of makes us, I'm sorry, I'm saying it universally, makes me feel insecure sometimes, where I'm like, I don't know that I'm coming across, I don't know that I'm understood. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if, like, I'm always coming across like in my brain I think I am. I mean, I'm sure you've had that experience, Donald, where someone's like, their perception of what just happened was so 180 degrees from yours that you start to doubt, like, am I judging environments correctly? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The acting game is a perfect example of that. You know, you put in your best performance, and then there's somebody out there, you're very proud of it, and then there's somebody out there who says, you know, what you did wasn't good, you know? But how you perceived what you did, you put in all the hard work, and you dug deep, and you thought you found something, but then there's going to be a bunch of people who don't see it the way you see it. And, you know, that's just how it is, and that's what makes, if anything, that's what makes people that work in hospitals human. We put all of this pressure on our frontline workers. We put all this pressure on people who work in hospitals and stuff like that to fix everything and to make sure they get it right. But at the end of the day, they're human just like we are, and they're going to make mistakes, and they do things that aren't necessarily for us, but sometimes are for them, whether it be good or bad. And it's important that we as humans realize that when we put all of this pressure on someone, that they're dealing with shit just like we are. And so, you know.
Right, but I don't even think it needs to be the heightened. I don't even think it. I just think that it's just a universal, like, human condition thing. It's not even at the. Obviously, we're talking about a hospital show here. One thing I do love about these characters is that they're at least open to getting feedback. You know what I mean? Like, they're at least open to. You know, I was just, when I was watching the show, everyone, at least at the end, has kind of. I mean, I know it's a TV show, they have to learn a lesson. But I was just liking that the idea of people being open to getting feedback. You know what I mean? Like, Sari gets a lot of feedback from Rick Schroeder's character. Kelso gets feedback from Johnny C quite aggressively in this. I get plenty of feedback from Turk in this episode. I just like that, you know, in so many situations in our lives, we have people in our lives who, no matter how passionately and calmly you give them feedback, they just don't hear it. They don't listen. They don't import it into who they are. Whereas, at least in this show, it's kind of, you feel like, oh, these people are going to evolve because their friends are giving them powerful feedback that they need to hear.
Right. But when you get feedback from other people, you don't want to hear that shit. You know what I mean?
Sometimes just, I do. Sometimes I do. I mean,
no doubt.
Dude, you and I have had like arguments and heart to hearts where
I like to think, but
still, I like to think you said something that I'll go, okay, let me, and of course, my family, my friends, my loved ones. I feel like there's plenty of times where I'll go, okay, let me, that might be a tough pill to swallow, but let me sit with it. Okay. Let me see how I can make change. I mean, you do that. We've done that.
Yeah. I agree 100%, but to hear it from a random person, or someone who is an adversary isn't necessarily something that, you know, when heard is something that, you know, you want to receive. It's just, that's just how it is.
Of course,
you know
it has to be, and it has to be told in a gentle way at times. So at 1:14, first of all, I never worn anything on this TV show other than blue scrubs.
Yeah.
36 seconds in, there I am in green scrubs alongside you.
I'm going to tell you something real quick, bud. I wanted to wear the long johns underneath the scrubs, long sleeve, and they told me right away, they were like, no, that's reserved for Zach. Zach is going to be the only one that does that.
I had that in my contract.
No, you didn't, dude. No, you didn't.
But you think I had any fucking contract negotiations? I was a fucking waiter at a French Vietnamese restaurant.
Point, right?
I wasn't like, the long sleeves are only for me or I won't do the part.
But I remember being like, I want to wear some long sleeves. And they were like, no, we've decided that JD.
Yeah, but that was a Carrie Bennett thing.
Yeah. No doubt.
Our brilliant costume. We need to have Carrie Bennett on this show, by the way.
That's a great idea. She has.
I want you fans to know, by the way, that we've got a lot of requests for Judy and Sarah to come back. We tried with both of them. They're both sort of busy right now. But we will be getting them back, so be rest assured. I also want to circle back real quickly, since we want to be responsible, since we brought up prostate cancer, and Joelle has found the ages. It says 40 to have a prostate exam if you have a family history, 45 if you're African-American, 50 if you have no family history and are not African-American. But I'm going to tell you that I started getting them at 40, and I recommend
started
that.
At 40 also. With that, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back. And we're back!
Did you notice at 3:52, the nurse pulls off the tail that's been taped to my butt that someone has pranked me with, and then she pats my bottom. It's never discussed. It has nothing to do with the show at all, but the nurse gives me a little pat on the rear.
I think I honestly believe it's a way to say that these guys are all tight at this hospital.
I mean, I just don't know. I don't even know how it came about. Like, JD doesn't even like turn around and be like,
no, he accepts her. Right. He accepts the fact that he gets tapped on the ass. That was by Lynn, actually.
It was Lynn. One of our regulars. Yeah. Lynn gave me a nice firm pat on the bottom. Now let's talk about, Sarah says, I love you too. She's talking about the CD because she's organizing her CD collection. And then Rick Schroeder's character hears it as an I love you statement. That's always weird, huh, in a relationship, the moment when you're going to say I love you. I mean, these guys haven't been dating that long. The idea that love would come into it is pretty early.
It sucks when it slips out and you didn't mean it. You know what I mean? And sometimes that happens.
Does that happen to you? How long into your relationship with Casey did you till you said I love you?
She said it first.
Nice.
It was over Astro Burger because we would go to Astro Burger after the club every night.
Oh, was Melrose? She hammered?
Yeah, she was. She was fucking wasted. Like she was. Oh, like, shit. I love you. As she devoured a burger
does
in
it,
her face.
Does the first I love you count, ladies and gentlemen? If you're shit faced when you say it, I don't know.
I think it counts.
Joelle, your thoughts.
I feel like once it's said, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Nope.
Like, it's out there. Like, how can it not count? It's been said. Although, if the person does, I used to have a rule in college that if I couldn't remember it, it didn't happen. So,
dude, I once said it after sex, and I had just started dating the girl. And
oh, God. Word?
It was because, well, I was going through, I was divorcing, and I was, you know, out as a single man for the first time.
And your first time you had sex, you had an orgasm, and you're like, "I love you."
And after
that
must I said
have been it, quite an orgasm.
After I said it, I was like, "Oh no, wait! I love this. What we just did was amazing, and I love the fact that I'm doing that now. Not necessarily that I.
What did she say? What did she say?
She was like, "Oh, this is really fast, but
this is
and
so
then I was
soon.
Like, whoa, before we go down this, and then I jumped in. Yeah. Like, before,
and you're like, it was the sex.
I was blinded by the light.
Blinded by the light.
What does he say next? What comes after that?
I know the real lyric is rap. Oh, fuck. Obviously, everyone thinks it's wrapped up like a douche, but what is it, Dan?
Revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
Wrapped up like a deuce. What the fuck does that mean?
Revved up like a deuce. It's like a two-cylinder engine. Revved up like a deuce. Another runner in the night.
I thought you said like a runner. I thought you said wrapped up like a deuce.
Like no.
Like a toozy. Like you wrapped
up like a toozy that you know you caught in the middle of the night and you had to wrap that shit up. Like oh shit, I didn't get to the toilet in time.
So wait, you thought the interpretation of the song was you shit your bed and had to run with the toozy in the toilet?
I knew that's not what it was.
I
knew that's not what it was, but that's.
I always thought it was wrapped up like a douche, but that's
disgusting, dude.
No, I don't even know if you can wrap up a douche. But anyway, we have E here. I'm sorry, Lauren.
For fuck's sake. No, enough. That's enough.
Donald, what did you think about Boing Fwip? This is a fan favorite. People love it when Ted develops this idea that he's rubber and you're glue. Boing Fwip.
I love Boing Fwip. Boing Fwip has stuck with me throughout life. There's a few things in Scrubs history that have stuck with me. Boing Fwip is one of them. So's Your Face is another one.
Yes.
I use So's Your Face like I use Boing Fwip.
Now, there's a Palm Pilot moment here where we're all the nerdy medical students are all sitting around. Daniel, you strike me as someone who probably had a Palm Pilot.
You caught me.
I never you was. It was me. Kind of like the first smartphone-y type thing, right? I didn't have one.
Yeah, and I certainly didn't need it back then either. But yeah, I had one.
But
had
you can have your
trio.
Calendar on it, and it would go online,
right?
Could you
I had my calendar on it. It said, go to school, come home from school. Real important stuff.
Here's the question now, though. Now that iPhone and Galaxy, I guess, are the two major smartphone distributors, are you going to get the Galaxy now that it does the Xbox on the Galaxy screen?
Oh,
like this.
I don't know what this is. What are you talking about?
So Xbox now has made it so that you can play Xbox on your smartphone.
Yeah, it's like remote play kind of stuff.
Right. And all you have to do is connect your phone to the Xbox controller, and now you're in your Xbox.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That's cool.
Can play on the bus, but won't that like drain the hell out of your battery?
Who gives a shit if you can play for an hour?
Use that thing to get everywhere. I gotta use that phone for the rest of the day.
Come on now, all anybody uses their phones for nowadays is to look at fucking Instagram, TikTok. Nobody does freaking emails anymore.
The college
emails
kids write their papers
emails
on their phones.
Donald and Joelle are watching the WAP video over and over again.
Great video. I mean, yes, but
great look, video.
This is another thing that I could go off on for an hour, but there are definitely some things about Android that I really like. But as long as I still have this MacBook Pro and this iPhone, I'll probably stay in the Apple family. And that
I gotta tell you, well, the reason I'm so loyal to iPhone is Please. That I feel when I send someone a text and it goes green. That our friendship will forever be limited. We will never.
I don't know if anyone else feels this.
When it goes green, I go, I don't, and this is so shitty to say, but I don't think that our friendship can ever go to the next level if you're not a blue receiver.
As someone who has an Android, it's true because now you're like left out of the same emoji categories.
Yeah.
You can't getting into a group chat of iPhone users with an Android is literally nightmarish.
I hate that.
We spent like days trying to figure it out and finally we're like, just go back to the Twitter group chat. It's not possible.
Because I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay to talk to you. And it's free if you have an iPhone. But the minute Android...
You don't have unlimited texting?
You have unlimited texting. You don't even know what you're talking about.
You still got to pay for data, though, don't you?
You don't have unlimited data?
Yeah, Daniel's going to help you get set up. You need a better plan. No, but my point is, you know when you send a group text
when you're not at home, like, that shit does not count. I'm just saying.
Listen, you know when you're in a group text and you send it to like 10 people and there's one fucker that makes it all go green and you're like, who's the asshole who made this whole group chat go green?
And I feel bad about
That's
it.
That's you, Joelle.
Only for now. I'm going to get the new iPhone when it comes out, but it's supposed to come out this month and they haven't announced a date yet.
I know.
I'm going to do the whole, I'm like eagerly, I want to get rid of this phone so bad. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be a great day.
Let's talk about Donald at 8:22 in his ballet outfit. Donald, what were those moves you were doing, bro?
That was definitely something that I picked up from like modern dance class when I was a kid.
That shit was hilarious. And not only that, your fade that you had on, that wig is hilarious. Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to listen, like most actors, a lot of people will be like, I never did that. But as a youth, I've taken so many dance classes, even if it was like one or two, you know, as a kid, I've taken tap, I've taken modern, I've taken ballet, I've taken all of these dance classes to try and better my resume when, you know, casting directors look at your skills and stuff like that. If you've taken a class, you can say, oh, well, I do modern or I do tap or you know what I mean?
Right.
And all I did was channeled from all of the classes I took as a youth into that moment and danced
around. Well, it was funny. It was funny as shit. I mean, I wish I could see the outtakes for that. I don't know if it's probably on the blooper reel, but I mean, I just wanted to see more. It was cut too quick. I wanted to see you dancing around in your fucking outfit.
I felt very svelte. When I look back at that now, I look at that, I'm like, wow, I was in shape.
Yeah. Well, we saw you when you did the pimp strut. I mean, you had like a C cup, and you looked firm.
Well, you know, they look like A's, but they're really C's.
Yeah, they were delicious. I liked your wig, and then I had the long mullet on.
For when you walk in the room. Now, I remember something completely different when they meet in college. I remember JD saying something, and maybe this was in the outtakes, but JD saying something like, I'm a first level wizard. And
it must be like, a different episode. It's a different episode.
But you're introducing yourself to JD's introducing himself to Turk, isn't he?
No, I think and I'm your roommate and I'm walking. I walk in. This is not the first time we're meeting. The first time we meet is when we talk about wizardry.
I thought we'd do a whole montage.
There's a funny montage, but it's not. I don't think it's the very first time we meet.
I thought it was. That would have been wrong.
I don't remember, but I love the mullet and you and I in college. And every time we cut back there, I think it's so funny.
That's a great storyline. If they were to ever do a remake of Scrubs, it would be great to do the college years.
The college years? But it should be our old asses in the fucking wigs.
Yeah, do it. With a bunch of young kids all around us and we're just old.
That's the pitch. Like that show Pen 15. You ever see that show Pen 15?
No, I have not.
There's two women playing 15-year-olds, and everyone around them are real 15-year-olds, but they play 15-year-olds. We should do that shit for college. It'd be hilarious.
Oh, my God. You guys would be so good at that.
That would be fucking fun. Donald. Okay. We got the show, guys. That's the fucking remake. I noticed that Carl and Elliot really seem to be friends in this episode. That kind of struck me. I was noticing, you know, we've been talking about how their friendship was sort of building, and now they're like buddies shooting the shit with no animosity. She's giving her advice on Rick Schroeder, and
I think that our memory of how the two of them were just dates to the first few encounters that they had in the first season. But I really do believe that Elliot and Carla they go on to become the bestest of friends.
Yeah, but this, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on the timeline of it all. But this just episode, as I was making notes, it made me think like, oh, they're really like, she's confiding in her. They have sort of an inside joke about, she says something about Carla's hummus breath or something.
Right. Well, they do it a lot. They do it a lot. When she started dating Rick Schroeder's character on the show, the two of them are talking where she's like, she says, Carla, you know how I'm crazy? And Carla's like, yeah. She's like, well, I'm having a hard time keeping that away from Nurse Flowers. You know what I mean? So they've obviously have developed a friendship.
Yeah. She confides in her.
Yeah.
How about Ted, the lawyer's reaction to Ken dying when he thinks Ken. So Johnny C puts a death date on Kelso's portrait, and then oh my God, Sammy was so funny. He was just like elated.
He was he was ecstatic.
Yeah.
In the words of Mike Tyson, he was ecstatic.
Ecstatic?
He was ecstatic. Let's talk about one thing. Ted's band is now doing commercial jingles.
Yes.
Do you know what commercial jingle he's doing when he gets cut off? When they're like, you deserve a break today. Do you remember what that's from?
Da, 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 da. Right?
My wife thought it was Disney. Like Disney.
Yeah, it's close to Disney.
Somewhat.
What is it?
McDonald's. At McDonald's. McDonald's, man. They've had some of the best jingles in the history. Do you know what one of my favorites is?
Go ahead.
Big Mac filet of fish, quarter pound of French fry, icy Coke, thick shake, sundaes, and apple pies. Do you remember that one?
No. That sounds like a rap. No. Speaking of rap and McDonald's, are you going to go get a Travis Scott burger or whatever it's called?
Do you remember this?
I'm so confused by the Travis Scott.
For the great taste of McDonald's. You remember
I'm
that
so
one?
Confused by the Travis Scott McDonald's collaboration. Can someone who knows more about pop culture explain it to me? Joelle, you are our master.
Maybe
of
Lauren
all
can.
Pop
she
culture.
Works for E. Lauren
no.
can. Lauren can. She works for
no.
E.
Like, no.
No.
The kids love Travis Scott, man. And McDonald's needs the kids to come eat there because their whole lives they've been like, what was the documentary that they made about?
Supersize Me.
Supersize Me. Yeah. So, like, these kids, their whole lives, McDonald's has been, like, persona non grata. Like, it's gross. Don't go there. Get out your food somewhere else.
Bad for you.
And, like, Travis Scott can't miss. Like, Cactus Jack, like, his shoes at Nike were selling out like crazy.
Oh, my God.
I just think it's, like, a really brilliant partnership to try to, like, get some of his fans in. And there are, I've seen employees selling their, like, Cactus Jack McDonald's, like, uniforms for, like, $600 online.
Joelle, do you like Travis Scott?
Sometimes he hits in the rotation, but I'm not like a stan. I wouldn't call myself a V listening.
But that makes me know that you're on the same type of hip hop that I'm on. The fact that you call yourself a stan means that you're an Eminem fan. It means you like lyrical. You like lyrical. Well, you know what a stan is. Stan.
Well,
that's become vernacular more than it is strictly attributed.
But it comes from one song. That comes from a song, dude.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. But I wouldn't call, I can appreciate what Eminem is doing in his time, but it's not really for me.
You're telling me you weren't on that I sit back with these pack of zigzags and you weren't on that shit? You weren't on that shit?
No.
His palms are sweaty. Wee's knees, arms are heavy. His mom is on a sweater already. You're telling me you wasn't down with, I never meant to give you mushrooms, girl.
Listen, around that time, I was really
Hey,
that was my jam.
That shit is banging too, though. That shit is banging too. Ain't nobody mad at that.
Circus was really heavy.
Ain't nobody mad at that.
Did you guys hear, speaking of that Donald and I are introducing, I don't know if we're supposed to talk about this, but we can bleep
what?
It. So Donald and I got asked to, via Zoom, because it's fucking the apocalypse, be a part of the iHeart Awards. What do they call it?
iHeart Music Awards?
Yeah, I Heart Music Awards.
Shit like that.
And Donald and I are introducing and we need the fans' help thinking of how we should best introduce. I think it'd be good if it was like an inside joke, or maybe Donald, you dance because you dance so well. I got an idea. We'll be like this. We'll be like, this next artist needs no introduction, but to give you a hint, Donald and I are both going to do one of his signature dance moves, right? And then Donald, you do some insane fucking move. And then I'm like, here I go. And then I'm like, no, psych, I'm not trying to do that. And then
no, psych. I don't want to do that. Because then you're making me dance. And then we're back at that little whole conversation that we had before about how the West Wing didn't make Dulé Hill dance.
I know, but you're such a good dancer. And I wish the West Wing had made Dulé Hill dance. Slappy Bag is your nickname that I've given you in this episode, which is hilarious. I have no idea where it comes
Why
from.
Why am I Slappy Bags?
I don't know. I assume we were out and everyone got hammered. You weren't invited for some reason, and I made up nicknames for everybody.
And you go, like, Slappy Bag.
And I go, you're Slappy Bag, and you walk off, and I go, Slappy Bag.
But the fact that you go, the fact that you said to all of the guys, yo, and Turk is Slappy Bags, and everybody goes, oh, I totally see it. He's totally Slappy Bags. Yep. That's some bullshit, dude.
What now, the first time in this a janitor ever talks to Cox is in this episode. Speaking of big things that happen.
Cox even asks, who are you?
He goes, who the hell are you? And he goes, I'm just a man with a saw. By the way, they gave Neil no storyline. Neil's entire storyline in this episode is that he has a saw. Now, this might have been like gotten to the point in the writer's room and they're like, I don't know, just fucking give Neil a cordless saw. It'll be funny and he'll make up shit.
Dude, the fact that, right.
He has no storyline. His storyline is that he has a saw.
Right, and at one point he contemplates cutting his thumb off because he has nothing to do with the saw.
Yeah, and then he cuts my arm off and it bleeds
right.
out.
Right.
Appletini. I mean, talking about momentous moments, the first time I order an Appletini, easy on the teeny.
Easy on the teeny. Is this the first time we ever hear that J.D.
loves Appletini? Yes, this is the very first time that J.D. orders an Appletini.
BBD, because, shout out.
You're highlighting that I'm a dork and I should just embrace it and not try and be something that I'm not. Everyone in this episode, as we said, is sort of like struggling with trying to be something that they aren't. And so my character, you're coaching me, just be who you are. And then I'm like, okay, Appletini, easy on the teeny.
There's a BBD shout out, which made me happy. Anything New Edition always makes me happy. One of my favorite things growing up was New Edition. I don't think Sarah knew the song Poison at this point. That girl
really?
Is poison. Yeah, because of the way she sings it, it doesn't sound like she knows it. Like,
she's tell that girl is poison. Like, not the melody? Like,
no, but she's like kind of unsure, whereas Judy is like, the song goes poison, and they do it kind of slow.
Judy can really sing, whereas Sarah breaks glasses like when
But I think Judy actually knew the song. Well, maybe Sarah knew the song. I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know if never trust a big button to smile was in Sarah's vocabulary. I'm just putting it out there.
I have always trusted a big button to smile, and it's gotten me in a lot of trouble. All right. Yeah. On that note, we need to take a break, right? Our caller is here.
We'll be back.
Lauren, are you excited? You're going to experience the caller. Maybe the caller will have a question for Lauren. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But thank you, everybody, for being here, and we'll be right back.
And we're back, and it looks like it is a hospital.
You're not going to be able to handle that last name, Donald. Don't try it. What's happening here?
Tiffany? Delilah Halsey.
Tiffany.
Let's see if they're cardiologists. So I'm hoping Tiffany. There hasn't been some kind of emergency.
Oh, there's probably an emergency.
I have a feeling they
Joelle,
got up
you
to
brought
like, get a coffee.
No, Joelle brought on someone who works in the hospital, and they ran to an emergency. There's nobody there.
It's a cardiologist.
Tiffany. You wait,
Tiffany.
This is amazing.
Tiffany. Oh my God. For those of you who can't see, obviously, we're looking at what looks like an empty room.
Oh, my gosh.
A woman just walked by. Joelle, this is not a shining moment.
If only she knew what's on the computer screen behind her.
She's connecting to her audio. Tiffany,
yeah, that's what's concerning me.
It doesn't even look like they're there.
Guess if it's in her headphones? Hold on, let me just...
Lauren, I want you to know... Wait. Tiffany! Tiffany, we're waving to her.
I don't even think that's her. I think
amazing.
She's.
Are you Tiffany?
Like, she can't even
she
hear.
Can't
us.
Hear.
This is the best. Okay, hold
you
on a second.
Frozen lady who's not moving.
She's in scrubs.
Well, she didn't help.
She's in
us
scrubs.
And she's going to wait, Donald.
Oh, like, wait, somebody come back.
Come back.
She's just like staring at the computer, like, what's going on?
Her also, vibe is very. Her vibe is very. Where the fuck is Tiffany?
Zach Braff and Donald Faison. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. We don't know what's happening. She looks
concerned. She's sitting there going, is that Joelle Monique? Oh my gosh.
Hi, here she comes. There we go. Hey.
Hi. Turn on your audio. Where's Tiffany?
Oh Tiffany. My gosh.
Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Hey.
Hi,
Tiffany.
Hi. Oh my gosh.
Did an emergency happen?
Yeah, I know. We're in clinic.
Where are you? Hey, Tiffany, where are you? Where are you?
Where? I'm at work.
But where at work are you?
We're in Lafayette. We're at work.
Wow. Love it.
But you're in what state?
Louisiana. Here, I'm going to go in the break room.
No. Do it out there so everybody can hear that you are not working right now.
No, we're supposed to be saying happy birthday to Eric Thomasy.
Yes, he just walked into a patient's room, so.
Oh, no.
Are you guys dealing with, like, crazy COVID shit right now?
It's getting a little crazy. Nah, we're over it.
You guys are over it.
Normal. Yeah.
I hear that. I thought you had a beard and mustache with your mask because it's black, and if you had it over your face, it looked like you had a beard and mustache.
That's just so keeping funny. It 100.
Yeah, so wait, Tiffany.
So got this little emblem, the little heart, you know.
Aww.
Right, nice. Fancy.
Nice.
Tiffany, yeah. Is this a surprise for somebody?
It was, but it didn't work out that way. So.
Okay. So do you have a question for us, or do you have to run off and work? Are you a nurse or a doctor? I can't tell what's happening over there.
No, I mean, I got a second.
Okay. Well,
tell us a little bit about yourself, Tiffany.
Well, Tiffany, you know, do you have a question for us, or is there any aspect of your life that needs
fixing? We have
fixing?
Lauren from E! News on with us.
We have a very fancy reporter here who can also answer
so
questions.
So, Tiffany, you're also on E! News right now. I bet you didn't know that.
Yes.
No, I mean, we were wondering, we're talking about the relationships between you guys, and so how did y'all keep that straight? Because even watching the episodes now, y'all are very, very close. It's like, how do y'all
when you say how do we keep that straight, do you mean like how do we not slip over into being
gay?
Well, no, not y'all, but just like I mean, no, but between you know, between Sarah and all the other characters that come on. I mean, y'all spend a lot of time together. You get close. Any behind the scene?
Oh, no, girl. Come on. Okay, so I learned a long time ago, never shit
where
you
eat. We don't kiss and tell.
Yeah, well, not only that, never shit where you eat. And that can cause a lot of problems. Is that what goes on? Oh, Tiffany, is that what goes on at the
Tiffany, is there lots of romance going on at your hospital?
At your hospital right now?
Oh, you know. Yeah. There's a secret code, but you know,
because we were told when we were training to do the TV show that lots of doctors and nurses and people in the hospital, they're there late nights, lots of romances occur.
Yes, it's rumored to happen. Well,
it didn't happen much on our show. There weren't a lot of romances, and
except for those stunt people that fell in love.
Yeah, some people that fell in love. The sound department and the grip department got married. They have kids now, Teddy and...
Aww.
Oh, that's right. One of our boom ops fell in love.
That's that famous video, right?
Yes. That is that famous video.
Donald and I were part of the proposal.
I love that.
There are relationships that have gone on to become... Yeah, that have started from... that have started from the work environment that we had at Scrubs. But as far as me, Zach, Sarah, Judy, nah, Zach's my brother. I don't want to.
But I occasionally caught feelings. I caught feelings for you.
Yeah, but we never took it to the next level. Like, we kept it as.
No, because we don't shit where we eat.
Right. We don't shit where we eat. We kept it as, you know. You, my buddy.
Now, Tiffany, I think you might be a good candidate to have us fix your life, because this is a very new segment that we do on the podcast.
And we've got Lauren from E! News with us.
And we have.
She is eager to fix your life.
Now, Tiffany, anything in your life that's going on, it could be a relationship issue, it could be anything that you need help with. We are here, and we're going to give you advice and fix it for you right now. It could be something big or small. We Donald and I are trained fake doctors, and we have we have Lauren here, who's very smart. Oh wait,
hey, is it your birthday today?
Yesterday, but thanks.
Happy birthday! The big what?
Happy birthday.
4-0.
You're 40? Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations,
dude. Thank you.
In the words of Stevie Wonder, happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
What's going on over there? What type of medical establishment are you guys all working in?
Well, this is a cardiology clinic.
Oh, nice. I see. So when you had to go see a patient, that person really needed some attention. It wasn't like you guys are.
Well, some of these are just follow-ups. They come back, you know, once a year, check on things, preventative stuff. So,
well, listen, we've gotten to the point of the show where we want to fix one of your guys' lives. If Tiffany, do you have something that needs fixing, or maybe one of your friends?
Where to start? No, I mean, school just started over here, so that's my main big stressor right now. Just trying to get the kids.
Do you guys all have children?
Well, yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah.
And you guys are all having to deal with daycare while you're away. And
yeah, that was a huge stressor because we had babysitters falling through and, you know, still got to come to work. And
well, yeah, you guys are all essential workers also. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. How old are your kids, Tiffany?
Mine are 10 and 7.
Okay.
And are they able to attend school in person these days?
Yes.
Or do they have to do?
Oh,
they are.
So they're going to school. So you have
to. Going full time.
So that helps then, doesn't it?
Do what?
So that helps though, then, doesn't it? That helps.
It is now.
But it wasn't like that for a while. So you guys were, what were you guys doing to combat, you know, not having?
I mean, we had multiple babysitters. I went through 3 of them. So.
Wow.
Or you go to daycare. They still had daycares open. And so it's just whatever you could do.
That's really hard. And how do you feel because you're in the medical profession with them being back at school? Does that make you anxious, or do you feel that that they'll be safe there, or and the precautions that the school is taking enough?
I mean, I'm hoping, but you know, we, like Natalie said, we're all over everything. We're ready for it to be over. We just want to get back to normal life.
Well, that's tough. You in the medical profession, you guys all know how difficult that's going to be to get back to normal. There'll be a new normal, I think. I don't necessarily think there'll be what it was before. I hear you. I imagine it's a relief to have the kids back in school and not have to worry about, you know, who's taking care of them while you're at work.
Yeah, I mean, it's a worry, but we'll just have to see. You're legit in your closet.
Where did you think I was when I said that I was?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. I figured you'd get a new spot by now, but
no,
it doesn't work that fast. I wish it worked that fast. I wish life moved that fast. I wish people were like, I wish money came to people that quick. I wish that life was that way. You know, no.
Tiffany, you can't beat the sound quality that comes out of Donald's walk-in closet.
It sounds just great. It's
just rich and warm.
That's true. That is true.
Do you want to introduce your friends that you got with you right now?
Yes. What's happening?
I have to say, I grew up watching Scrubs when I was in medical school. So it was a good relief. We'd sit around, all of us, and watch it and see the ups and downs. And so I have all these new, young 20-some-year-old employees. So we make them watch Scrubs here so they understand.
We're not.
We appreciate that.
So they're not the fans. You're really the fan.
Well, I mean, I grew up watching it, but I was 12 when it came out. So
you make me feel so young.
So are Donald. So are Donald and I. Donald and I were 12 as well.
Thank you so much.
That's good.
Well. I don't know that we can fix your life because that's the problem you brought up. Donald, this might be the first time we're not able to fix someone's life because
I think we did fix her life. I'm going to be honest with you.
How do we fix? Why? We just talked to her about her conundrum with her children going to school.
Yeah, and I think that right there was enough for her to be like, I feel better about it all and my life is fixed.
Yeah, you know what?
Tiffany,
you're welcome, Tiffany. You're welcome,
Tiffany.
You're welcome, Tiffany. Thunderous applause, Dan. All right. Well, we got to get going. Thank you guys for coming on the show. I'm glad we were able to fix all of your lives and happy
thank
birthday.
Thank you for all that you do.
Okay.
Hey, all right. Thanks, y'all. Stay
bye,
safe.
Guys.
Bye.
Take care. I don't know about that one, Joelle. I think that was a bit of a disaster, Joelle.
I'm so sorry. I thought we were Joelle, happy birthday.
That woman, with all due respect, she seemed legitimately bothered and annoyed to be having to talk to us.
I'm going to go with if they were shy and like maybe a little overwhelmed to be in your celebrity presence.
She kept doing this, Joelle.
Yeah, I mean, Joelle.
I will try harder. Doctors, let's work on getting a time when your schedules are actually okay.
Well, no, she had nothing prepared. She didn't really have a question other than did we all sleep with each other? And then
that's what she was going for. She was wondering who got down with who.
Yeah, and then, you know, she didn't really have anything that we could fix because we can't fix Corona, sadly.
If only we could.
If only.
Oh, dude.
We'll be better next week. We've got good stuff lined up for you.
Hey, so JD walking down the hall saying hi to everyone after becoming popular after throwing Turk under the bus. You know what that reminds me of? Can't Buy Me Love.
Go ahead. I've never seen Can't Buy Me Love. Be mad at me.
Any of you guys seen Can't Buy Me Love?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cindy Mancini?
Lauren, have you seen it?
Okay. Anyway, it's about a kid who becomes popular after he pays the most popular girl in school to go out with him, right?
Right.
And the day, she agrees to do it, and they date for 1 month. And at the end of the month, he's so popular, and they agree at the end of the month that they break up, right? But he's so popular at this point that she's kind of caught feelings for him. The school really likes him. So they break up, and she says to him, you know, just whatever you do, be yourself tomorrow, because you're now this, you know, infamous single guy. You're now this famous single guy in high school. And he walks into the school acting exactly like JD. That's right. I'm here. What's up, Big Sack? Oh, let me give you some high five. Oh, my dude. And giving everybody hugs. And he has his own handshake with everyone and everything like that now. And it was that moment that JD, when watching this, I was like, holy shit. JD, for popularity, becomes the biggest asshole on the planet just to be popular. He's willing to make it.
It went to his head. It went to his head real
like
quick.
That. All he needed was somebody to say, oh shit, you're not the weakest link in this group. Turk is the weakest link because he'd like dance.
Yeah.
You know?
And then it ends. It's funny you mentioned an 80s movie because it reminded me at the end of 16 Candles when Anthony Michael Hall is like king of the nerds. Right, him and is it John Cusack?
But no, in his group, it's him.
Yeah, he's like nerd posse. Yeah, he's like
it's
king
him,
of the dorks.
John Cusack and one other dude. Yeah,
yeah, and then like that when the episode ends with like Johnny Castle asking me for my nasal spray, and we did this shot. Actually, it was funny. I was sitting on the dolly. I remember they were like, "How are we going to get him to just levitate?" And you know the camera dolly we put the camera on has a silent hydraulic lift to it, so you can raise the camera silently. And I just sat. I remember they put like a little cushion on it, and I just sat on the end of the dolly as I rise up, and I'm like, "I am king of the dorks," or whatever it was. And it reminded me of that moment in 16 Candles where Anthony Michael Hall is sort of like king of the nerds.
Yeah, Anthony Michael Hall is the king of the nerds in 16 Candles for some horrible reasons, but we won't get into that. let's also talk about JK and who's the guy helping JK when they're moving Kelso's office. Who was the other guy? Because he was with us.
Name, but he was another a regular. Yeah, and also, did you notice when there's a shot in the when Aloma is when everyone's sort of looking at Kelso's portrait that says he's dead now? There was a shot of a bunch of our regulars. You had Mickhead. And you had Deontay.
Yeah.
And there was somebody else I wrote down. Aloma, obviously. But there was like a whole bunch of our regulars there.
Yeah.
Mickhead getting more and more screen time as the show evolves.
Mickhead turns out to be one of Bill's assassins for this episode. He always came through with the right way of saying his jokes and his lines were all, he never overdid it.
Not
he,
for this episode. You said for this episode. You mean
For
the
series.
Show.
I'm sorry, yeah, for the series. Yeah. He becomes, just for all of the fans out there who've watched the show, just watch how much more screen time Mickhead gets as he's introduced as Mickhead. He just, you know, Frank was one of those guys that never overcooked it and he never undercooked it. He always stayed on point. And so now is the time you'll start seeing him more and more in the show from this moment on.
All right, that's the show, gang. I think we did it. I think Lauren had, I mean, Lauren, is it safe to say that you had an enjoyable experience?
Yeah, this was amazing. It felt like okay. I was just watching the podcast and I kept forgetting that I was like.
It was interactive. It's an interactive podcast, Lauren. No, we're glad you're here. And thank you to our amazing producer, Joelle, and of course, Daniel, even though, you know, Joelle is allowed a misfire with a guest every now and then, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, let's stop ragging on Joelle. How is it Joelle's fault that the guests were unprepared? I'm sure they've been emailing her nonstop on some stuff.
I meant that I felt like that woman would have had no different attitude if she was taking one of those DMV courses where you've gotten too many points and you have to like go through the fucking checklist.
I feel like when the doctor said, when the guy said, I grew up on Scrubs and I make everybody watch it, she was one of those people that he makes watch the show. That's what I honestly believe. That's the honest to goodness truth. But
I feel like she was, I don't mean that everyone has to be like effusive and excited to be on the show, but it's hard to get on the show. Joelle fields hundreds of emails. I think when we finally pick someone, they should at least seem 70% interested in being on the show.
I will say this, no mug for her. No mug for her.
No mug for her. You know what? You know what? In fact, Joelle, pick up a mug and smash it on the ground.
Oh my gosh.
This could have been yours, Tiffany, but you blew it.
Not only are we not sending her a mug, Joelle, I want what would have been her mug smashed on the ground.
Okay. Oh my God.
I'm on
and then
it.
Joelle, I want you to take one of those fake doctors, real friends masks. And and burn it, and just burn it in your fireplace. Oh my gosh!
We're
good
not
lord!
Waste good PPE.
Oh, wait, do you guys hear the fucking merch we have coming? We have beach towels coming. We have washcloths coming.
We're talking about wrapping paper. How great would it be this Christmas, this Hanukkah,
wrap
this
yourself freaking, in us.
This Kwanzaa to wrap your present for your family members. This Rosh Hashanah to wrap.
We don't give presents on Rosh Hashanah, Donald.
You don't?
But no, you can stick
with about Ramadan? Do they get presents on Ramadan?
I don't know about Ramadan.
I don't know either.
But the show's over, so we're not going to make Joelle Google that.
We really need to get up on our religious holidays.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Listen, I played Toby Sebastian on here, one show, Number One Lover, and everybody loved it. Got such great feedback, and so I thought we'd play another jam, another hot jam. By Toby Sebastian, called Train to Mexico. Really good song. It's on my workout playlist and on my party playlist. I think you guys will really like it. So thank you, everybody. Lauren, thank you for being here. Daniel, Joelle, you rule as always. Donald, I miss you so much. I can't wait to watch you swim in person and not on my security camera.
Zach, you know, when you come home, of course you have to bubble for a little bit because of your travel and all of that stuff. Mm. But I can't wait till we are back in a bubble together again.
I'm probably going to just mount you. I'm going to mount you once it's time.
And I will accept and receive said mount.
I said mount. All right. Thank you, guys. We love you all. And here is the very talented Toby Sebastian with Train to Mexico.
Heading down 300 miles left. The old coach said she had flown out west. Shake it to the left, shake it to the right.